time now for KJN's Heartbeat Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishna Valley a special place. Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. Here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. As long as you keep that snow away, we'll be fine.
I'm not in charge of that.
So. I've just tasked you with it. You are in charge now. Good luck.
Sounds like we're going to get a little bit of it.
Well, hopefully not that 10 inches somebody told me the other day.
Yeah, I don't think
so. You know, they've goofed up so many times lately. I'm holding my breath.
Meteorologists are right 100% of the time, Brett. What are you talking about?
I wouldn't be in business if I had that kind of a success story.
Wow. Well, gee.
How do you really feel?
Yeah. Lucky thing Harvey's not sitting here this morning. Huh? Hey, tell us about Camblin Plumbing and Heating.
Lennox and Camblin Plumbing and Heating have been together for 70 years, and we continue to know that there isn't any other brand of heating and cooling equipment on the market today that will match the quality and dependability that Lennox produces. We also know that Lennox, just as well as Camblin Plumbing and Heating, uses good common sense approach to warranties. Your comfort and trust is very important to both Camblin Plumbing and Heating and Lennox. We want you to know that we're not just in the game for the sale. We're in the game for customer service and the long haul. Give us a call next time you have a heating or cooling problem, and we'll respond quickly. 243-1512 in Atlantic or 755-3286 in Harlan.
Very good. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. Hey, it's another Freedom Friday. We've got a guest joining us here in studio this morning. Steve Livengood of Atlantic is in with us. Thanks for coming by.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, appreciate that. Well, I have to be here. I really don't have
I knew somebody had to be here. I wasn't sure.
I'm glad somebody appreciates it. Hey, let's talk. I want to talk a little bit about your service now. You enlisted in the service.
I did enlist. They gave what they call the ASVAB, that test, you know, that the military gives to find out whether you'd be suitable for it or not. Back when I was in high school, the whole class took it. There was two of us that decided, hey, it'd be a good idea to join the military. I was able to be qualified, and the other gentleman was not. So I think I was the only one out of my class that joined while I was in school.
What branch?
Army. Dad wasn't too fond of that. He was a Navy guy. He wanted me to talk to the Navy recruiter. You know, when I can properly throw a rock, I can get it to stay above water by skipping it on the water. I actually sink better than a rock, so I wasn't interested in being in the Navy. Mom wasn't interested in anything, but Dad convinced her.
Those are tough decisions.
They really are. It's not like sending somebody to band camp or something. You never really know where you're going to end up and what's going to happen.
Did you have a chance to kind of pick your future a little bit, or was it predetermined for you?
It was. I got to pick it. In fact, when I enlisted, the job that I chose was small arms repairman. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a little bit of a gun nut. And so I chose small arms repairman. I enlisted what was called the delayed entry program. I was still in high school when I enlisted. And I did some research, and I didn't have what was called a guaranteed stateside assignment, which meant probably I was going to go overseas. I had no desire to do that. So I went back and changed my MOS to artillery repairman. Thought, well, you know, if I didn't like the little guns, maybe I'd work on the big guns. And with that, I could get a guaranteed stateside assignment. So I actually had two different jobs before I even went in. The first one was working on small guns, and the second one was working on big guns.
That's interesting. Is that something you'd always considered, or did it just kind of come up all of a sudden?
You know, you're a high school senior. What do you know? I didn't know that I planned on retiring. I thought the military would be a good thing. And when I did retire here I suppose it's been 10 years ago, but when I did, and everybody says, well, you're too young to retire. And I said, well, if you start early, you get to quit early. But I thought the military, I really didn't know what I was going to do, so I thought that would be good enough. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to, I'm going to do it for 20 years.
Got a chance to see a lot of things.
That I did. One thing about the military, you know, you don't have to go very far and you can see things. I mean, you can see things in the barracks or in the shops. It's kind of a lifestyle that's a little bit different, I would imagine, than working in industry. Although, since I've retired, I kind of get into different things, you know, and I'm sitting on boards and commissions and whatnot, and we're talking about union contracts and comp time and everything else. And I really have a hard time getting my head wrapped around that, you know, the comp time and the, well, I'm this, so I should get that. Like, that's not what I did in my life. You know, you you worked all day, and then you worked all night, and then you worked all day the next day. And nobody said, oh, hey, you worked last night, you know, take the day off.
You're saying work ethic might be slightly different?
I'm saying that the not the ethic is different, but the procedure is different.
I got you. Sure. Well, talk a little bit about some of the things you were able to experience throughout your time. You served mostly during, well, I guess we'd call it peacetime?
Yes, it's definitely peacetime. I do presentations at the schools and whatnot, and everybody says, well, what war did you go in, and, you know, where's your Purple Heart and all that other good stuff. It's amazing. I spent almost 25 years in and never fired a shot in anger and never got shot at. So, you know, we're not always at war. It seems that we are, but we're not. And even if we are in a conflict someplace, that doesn't mean that everybody is there. I started out, like I say, in the delayed entry program in high school, spent the summer, went off. It was like 3 days after my 18th birthday. I was young in school, and headed off to the Army. I spent 3 years there, came home, did that five-year traditional M-Day National Guard thing, and then they thought, well, hey, how would you like to work full-time for the Guard? And so I kind of, I don't know, it was a unique situation. I was active Army, but spent most of my time in the state of Iowa, either in Shenandoah or Atlantic.
Was recruiting a big part of what you had to do through that?
It wasn't my job description, but it was other duties as assigned. Everybody's in charge of, you know, making the organization stronger. So I know the guys saw it down on the drill floor, you know, hey, you're supposed to be, you know, bring a buddy to drill or something like that. So they're always seem to be looking for new applicants or new prospects. The military is an organization that, you know, kind of ebbs and flows. People get in and think, well, this wasn't such a good idea. It wasn't really what I thought. So you were always looking for new folks.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody.
No, it's really not. It's a whole different world. I mean, it's like I was saying with the comp time and everything else. Sometimes you get the idea, well, I'm tired this morning. I don't want to do it. It's like, run? I don't want to run this morning. And why would I want to carry that? No, I don't. I'd rather have, you know, a bed instead of dirt. And so there's a lot of folks that it's different than the real world.
But it's all real world. But yeah, but it's even people who change careers over and over again, people find things that just aren't suited right. You know, it's just not suited for them, so they try to find something else. You know, the service is a little bit, it's just like anything else. It's just that much different. The difference there, though, too, is that you don't have a whole lot of days off. You're pretty much on 24/7.
You know, I can't imagine how many little red dates on the calendar that said, hey, you don't have to be here today because it's a federal holiday. And, you know, if I was lucky where there even was a calendar and lights to look at the calendar, yeah, you miss a lot of holidays. It's just not the same. It really isn't. It's a whole different world. You know, and talking about trying to find a suitable career, if you don't know what your job is, you can go talk to somebody about that. Say, well, you know, I think I'll be a plumber. And so you go talk to a plumber. Well, that really wasn't a lot of fun. I wonder what a truck driver's like. Well, you know, Uncle Tom is a truck driver, so I'll talk to him. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to find out what it's like to be in the military, you got to talk to the military guy or that recruiter. But we all know that they're going to lie to you, so you wouldn't want to listen to them anyhow. And so there's really nobody to talk to about what it's like to be in the military except the military guys. And, you know, a lot of times they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, and everybody's experiences are different, too. And I was talking to a veteran the other day about the possibility of being a part of our program here, too. And they, one of the things they said is, well, gee, I don't have any dramatic stories. I wasn't on Okinawa or Iwo Jima or any place like that. I was one of those behind-the-scenes kind of guys. It's, so what? Everybody's got stories, and you took the time to and made the sacrifice to go out and volunteer to do something to help.
You know, the military, it's if you join the military, and that's which one of the five branches did you join, they all have a job. I mean, it's like a plumber, for instance. You're going to be a plumber. You can do drains. You can do supply lines. You can do whatever, but you're a plumber. But in the military, if you're in the Army, you might drive tanks. You might fix medical records. You might, you know, fix computers. You might operate radios. I mean, what did you do while you were in there? And so there's a you know, many, many jobs to do. I know that, obviously, I collect a lot of military equipment, and sometimes I get a piece of equipment, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. And so I'll go up to a guy that, you know, is the proper area and say, what do you think this is? And he's like, oh, I don't know. We never had anything like that. I don't think that's military. I'm like, okay, well, I know that it is. And, you know, if you're a tank driver, well, of course you've never seen a, you know, or this kind of piece of equipment. So I can understand that. It's really fascinating that, you know, everybody thinks that everybody in the military knows how to, you know, drive a tank and fly a jet, and it's not the way it is. It's really not.
Well, everybody's experiences are different. And the military would be kind of like a massive corporation that has a lot of little side operations that do different types of things. It all has different arms, and they all have different functions, but they're all part of the same mission.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, you know, there's the same creed that everybody follows, and everybody doesn't get the little red day off on the calendar, and everybody doesn't have a concept of comp time, and so yeah, it's the organization is the same. And you're right, you have a lot of different jobs, but you're 9 times out of 10 you're working with equipment that is not out in the civilian sector. So it's similar, but it's really not the same.
I know since you've been retired from your military service that you've had an opportunity also to keep in touch and be active with local veterans and to help organize some different types of activities and events to as educational opportunities. So it's meant a lot to you.
It has. You know, I say, even with an apology to my wife, I say the most important thing that I do is the color guard that we do. We are responsible for providing the military rites for veterans' funerals. Fold the flag, do the taps and the rifle salute and everything else. It's the most important thing I do. A lot of times, you know, I'm dressed up, I'm ready to go to a funeral, and somebody says, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to a funeral." "Well, who is it?" I don't know. I don't know who it is. I just know that they called me and said, "Hey, you need to be there." And so that's extremely important for me to do. I do a lot of presentations at the schools and activities, you know, and organizations, that sort of thing. It's you know, I'm not recruiting anybody. Lord knows I don't care if you get in or get out nowadays, but I'm just trying to, you know, not necessarily even tell my story, but just here's my experiences with what I know about the military.
Yeah, well, everyone's experience is a little bit different, and depending upon the time that you serve, the place that you serve, the branch that you served with, there are all kinds of different factors there, but, you know, everybody has stories, and everybody made that sacrifice, and we thank you for doing that. We salute you for your service.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for coming by this morning, too. We appreciate it a lot. Let's go back to that plumber over here.
Okay.
Brad, he wants to tell you more about Camlin Plumbing and Heating.
If the air in your house doesn't seem quite right, if your allergies seem to be worse at your home than at work, or if you have an unusual amount of dust appearing in your house, perhaps you need your ductwork professionally cleaned. Camlin Plumbing and Heating uses a negative air approach to clean your ductwork with some of the industry's best equipment. Our technicians are educated in the art of cleaning your ductwork and make sure that the job is thoroughly done. It usually takes about a day to do the work in your home, and then from there on, you'll be cleaning breathe air. We also have spray additives available that will help alleviate molds and mildews in your ductwork, and also another additive that will help any offensive odors that might be present. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286 to get more information. Thought of the day today comes from Samuel Smiles. Life will always be to a large extent what we ourselves make of it.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. Steve, thanks for coming in again. Appreciate it very much, and thanks for being a part of our program here and for your service as well. Hey, you got to make it a great day, and God bless America.